We're doing the Emunah Bitachon. We're up to the 27th section of the third chapter, page Lamin Chet. It is inevitable, says the Chazon Ish, asher ruach nachon over belibo mekitzo mishnato hamuka, that a correct spirit passes over one's heart and awakens him from his deep slumber. And there's this thought that floats in the atmosphere of his world. Ulay od lo ichalti hamoed. Maybe it's not too late yet. There's this thought that floats in his mind. Meaning we spend most of our life feeling like I'm done for. I guess what I've done, and what I haven't. And then every so often there's like a cloud floating in the sky. There's this thought that floats in that says, hey, maybe it's really not too late. Ulay efshar adayin liknot chokhmah. Maybe I could still get smart. Maybe I can still acquire some knowledge. I can go sign up in Machon Meir. There are many pillars of Torah who only started learning when they were coming of age. And I also, if I work hard, if I can be consistent, I will merit to know Torah and have understanding. So every so often people have this thought. I said when we introduced the previous section that this is less relevant to you guys because you've all done this. But you have to remember this because after you leave the Machon, then it's more common that you enter this rut where you have your habits and you're basically a sense of complacency that settles in where a person stops aspiring for more. So if I work hard, a person tells himself, I can acquire Torah. Aval midata busha. But then there's this shame, hamachbida al tzad hayakar hazeh, it weighs him down from taking that step, tatzreh, it stops a person. I have to admit, I don't know, I have to go to shiur, I have to start signing up for courses. Umemeher la'asiach da'ato ledvrim hayoter ni'imim lo lefi sha'ato. So what happens is, a person quickly changes the channel in his mind. He quickly thinks about something else that's more pleasant to think about. And so a person stays stagnant in his original state. And it's about this exactly that the Mishnah says, he who is embarrassed will not learn. If we let the shame stand in our way of asking a question or signing up for a class or going to learn, so then we will not advance. I have the good fortune of learning under Rabbi in the Beit Torah, a place where people come to ask questions. And every year or two, new students come in and new students go out. And every so often they ask me, who are you? And I always say, I'm the worst student here, because I'm still here. Other people have graduated, but I'm still learning. I feel like I still have what to learn. So it could be I'm a bad student. I certainly don't have the skill other people have. But I also know that there's more to learn. And if there's more to learn, I might as well keep attending. The fact that I have a responsibility to answer questions in other situations in life doesn't mean there isn't so much more for me to learn. I used to attend a class on Fridays given by Rav Shlomo Fisher in Hernov. Brilliant, brilliant Talmud Chacham. And during this class, I would butt heads with other people in the class, asking questions back and forth. And I didn't know that everyone in that class is a Rosh Yeshiva. I didn't know that because a friend of mine, I used to attend a different shiur, and I asked one of the rabbis there, what would you recommend which class I go to? So he said, go there and tell him I sent you. So I went, and I didn't know who I was sitting with at the table, because next to Rav Shlomo Fisher, everyone seemed like students. So I didn't know. You know, I was a teenager. I was 18, 19 years old. And they have longer beards than me, but so what? You know, we're all listening to the class, and so when we argued, we'd argue. In hindsight, it's pretty remarkable that Rosh Yeshiva get together on every Friday morning for years, and they'd come in from Mivaseret and from all over Jerusalem and a little beyond to listen to this shiur. So Rav Shlomo Fisher?
Yeah.
You should go see him. The problem is where? You could check with the Yashlatz. Merkaz Arav, next door is a high school called Yashlatz. And I think they bring him in one day in the summer. In general, it's worthwhile for you to follow their postings because they bring in big rabbis. They brought in Rav Nevinson last night. And they're rabbis that you should at least see, even if you don't understand everything they're saying. It's worth seeing them. You should,
where's the place that they post that, these meetings?
They have classes. What they're doing is, in, for the summer months, for the 3 weeks of the summer, they were let out 2 weeks ago. They have one more week until Tisha B'Av. So they have everyday guest lecturers. The guys come in of their own volition. They have free classes. And they ask rabbis from all around to come in and give a class. So, I'm saying in Yashlatz, in this high school. It's called Yeshivat Ben Azmanim. Yeah. Yes.
Where is it in position to Merkaz Arav?
If you're facing Merkaz Arav, it's to the left of the yeshiva.
Further up the hill?
Yes. It's the next building. It's attached. Yeah. This trait of being embarrassed is actually a positive trait. It's a trait we try to acquire. Now, when people learn ethics, one of the traits we try to acquire is this trait of being a person who knows how to be embarrassed. That's a good trait. Umarba lachkor al mafsideha bishvil litrachek mehim. And very often people will expound on those who lack shame and discuss how we should distance ourselves from such people. Because the antithesis of shame is brazenness. Our sages go on and on about how despicable a brazen person is. But this wonderful trait of having shame becomes a messenger for sin, becomes an extension of sin. If you misapply it, if you have shame and that gets in your way of learning, so then that wonderful trait of having shame becomes a problematic trait. And we all have this challenge. Very often there's a question on the tip of our tongue. We're scared to ask it because we're embarrassed. And then we don't learn. If a bad trait is bad, so then a good trait that's misapplied is also a huge stumbling block. It's easier to overcome a bad trait because there are many books written about bad traits. And all these books will tell you how terrible that trait is, how you should overcome it. So the rabbis have researched the foul traits and they educate us and they give us tools how to cure ourselves of those traits. But the problem is when you have a good trait, which is Toa b'darka misapplied, asher min kudat ha'anava u'mimerkaz ha'tzniut, rafu yadav miniknot chokhma. A person has humility. A person is modest. And because of that, he doesn't learn Torah. He's embarrassed to say something. Okay, maybe the time has come to tell you a secret. Let's finish the sentence. The problem is Chazon Ish has a long run-on sentence. Okay, let's finish the sentence and then I'll tell you an interesting tool. Just don't try to use it on me, because it's whatever. In a minute. Umar Rav Oshro lu haya mezin b'midat azut v'chutzpah b'izdanut zu. And a person would be so happy if he would be able to focus the brazenness that he has in order to grow in Torah. B'sha'ah shekiryotav yisru al Rav kishlono. Because a person has such frustration when he realizes how he's falling, he's not growing because he's too proud to share what he doesn't know or to ask questions. And a person actually leaves Torah. How many people don't go to Daf Yomi because they're embarrassed to ask because they don't really understand what's going on? People can pass their best years. And they're not far from the grave, but they're not learning. And And just the thought of people going, you don't know that. Just the thought of that, that awful thought of what people are going to say in his mind, he's already embarrassed just thinking of that. And he has no strength to stand up to that imagination, that imagined shock that people will have when they recognize how little he knows. So that stands in his way. Ma'at chutzpah, the Chazanish says, no, get a little chutzpah, ma'at azut, a little brazenness, v'tireh nechochot, and you'll see clearly. U'manechshav machshevet bintmuta basar v'ruach kechalom ya'uf. Suddenly you'll think, what do I care what he's thinking? He's going to drop dead one day. He's going to stand in my way of learning. So what if he says, oh, you don't know that? V'lama tichana merot einav. Why should I do myself because of his looks at me? Shouldn't a person be more scared and subdued from the eternal shame of not knowing anything and leaving this world without knowledge? A person's toiling for naught, and it's as though everything he does is going to pass. Chazak na ben adam, says the Chazanish, strengthen yourself, man. Chazak ulvosh omet, strengthen yourself. Dress yourself with might. Chagor meretz, girdle yourself with enthusiasm. Veveshakud l'mod halacha, and focus yourself to learn halacha. It means initially you won't know. It means initially you'll say things where people will say, come on. I've had those come on moments. I can tell you mistakes I made. I'll give you an example. Blew me away. Before we got married, so I learned the halachos of family purity. And the halachos of family purity, so one of the things that's discussed is chibuk v'nishuk. Chibuk v'nishuk literally means hugging and kissing. So I read those halachos, and I read them literally. And I was already married somewhere between a half a year and a year, and I was talking to one of my rabbeim, and I was discussing with him a certain halacha, and he said that would be prohibited because of the prohibition of chibuk v'nishuk. And I said, but that's not hugging or kissing. And he looks at me and he says, hugging and kissing are examples. It means any sign of affection. And I said, but that's not what it says. You know, and it was so obvious. And I didn't believe him. I went to another rabbi and I said, when it says in halacha chibuk v'nishuk, what does it mean? So he said, any affection. And suddenly I realized, hey, I've been learning this whole time and I didn't get it. You know, I thought it meant literally these two acts are extraordinary affections, and under certain circumstances they're prohibited. I didn't realize it's more encompassing than that. So yeah, I've had those dunce moments too, even recently. I'm giving you an example. Okay.
It's worse, the feeling after that, or the feeling after the tefach and the...
No, the tefach was much worse. Tefach was much worse. So, okay, so now the secret. When I reached 12th grade, so I went to another yeshiva. I did early admissions. I finished my high school requirements. And when I went to that yeshiva, so my brother gave me a tip that has served me in good stead all these years. He said to me, when you come to a yeshiva, pay attention, look around, see who you think are the top people, who you think you could benefit from. And after you've analyzed the situation well, go over to them and ask them for a chavrusa. Ask them if they could learn with you one-on-one. And don't be embarrassed. You'll think, now, what's the chance they'll learn with me? I'm the new boy on the block. I just got the yeshiva. Because everyone's embarrassed, so no one goes over to them. And that's why you can get in and you'll be able to learn with them. And that's what happened. I was in Tells. I had once a week a chavrusa with the Rosh Yeshiva who wrote books on Tanakh. I got a private shiur on Parsha every week from him. I was in Mir. I had a chavrusa with the posek of Mir. I was in MTJ. I had a one-on-one chavrusa with the head of the kollel of MTJ. I had a one-on-one chavrusa with the head of the court of Williamsburg. I'd learn with him every day for an hour. No one asked. I did. So I had a chavrusa with the chavrusa. I was learning with the head of the Beis Din of Williamsburg, a person who learned directly under Moshe Feinstein, every day for an hour. And it goes on. I could tell you more and more stories. Because of that, one good piece of advice. Don't be embarrassed. Ask. Try. Lo abayshan lamed. And if someone tells you, I don't have time, so ask them once a week. Once a week. And if they don't have time to learn a few, then you could walk them home. I would have a steady learning session with Rav Kapach. He lived a 20-minute walk from here. I'd go to his class once a week. No one would walk him home. I would walk him home. When Rav Avram Shapiro would go to weddings, so I would always take a ride back with him. Sometimes I'd take a ride back, then get on the bus and go back to the wedding to dance. But I'd have a private session with him, 15, 20 minutes. I was once at a wedding where Rav Simcha Cohen Cook was present from Rehovot. I took his taxi all the way back with him to Rehovot just so I could talk to him. The whole way I was asking him questions. And I could tell you more and more stories this way. That's the secret. If you try, you'll discover that many other people are not trying. And you will be able to learn with top, top people because other people don't even try. So you're in a community. There'll be a rabbi you want to learn with. There'll be a yeshiva next door. See how you could get in, and you'll be surprised. You could get in. The advantage is that other people aren't trying. And so that's why very often you can. I'll end with an interesting story. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's top student, his shamish, his right-hand man at the time, has a daughter, and I had the good fortune of doing the shidduch between his daughter and her husband. So they're having the engagement party, and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu comes, and they introduce me as the shadchan whom set up the girl and her husband. So Rav Eliyahu calls the father, and he says, Eitan, if he's the shadchan, pay him. Did you pay him yet? So he said, no, not yet. So he said, pay him. So I said, Rabbi, I'll tell you what I want. I want to learn with you instead of payment. Let me into your private class. I want to be in your class. And he approved it. And that's how I got into a shir with him.
Is that reasonless?
Right. That's why I'm telling these stories. The same idea the Chazon Ish is talking about. Don't be embarrassed. Speak up and get in.